You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Now it's time to hear from the Green Party's Ricardo Menendez March.
Last week, the government announced that they would begin an official review of the Waitangi Tribunal and the Treaty of Waitangi Act 1975. The government has said that the review is to ensure that the Waitangi Tribunal remains effective and relevant. However, a number of Māori and treaty law experts have referred to the review as an attack on Te Tiriti or Waitangi and its principles. In that same week, the government announced that they would be investing $774 million towards improving the redress process for survivors of abuse in state care in Budget 2025. However, going against one of the key recommendations from both the Royal Commission and the Redress Design Group, the government will not be looking to set up a new redress scheme for abuse survivors. And the government recently passed amendments to the Wildlife Act that would permit the incidental killing of certain native wildlife species by companies during lawful activities like construction and development. For our weekly catch-up with the Green Party, I spoke to MP Ricardo Menendez March for the party's take on all of these issues. So to begin, what was your reaction to hearing about the government's review of the Waitangi Tribunal?
I mean, this is, as you've mentioned, and others have, an attack on Te Tiriti or Waitangi. It's politically driven by the ACT and the New Zealand First Party, who at every stage of the way has sought to undermine Te Tiriti, which is not just our founding document, but actually one of the best protections we all have, Māori and non-Māori, against corporate greed. And I think this is motivated by the fact that the government is attacking Māori at every stage of the way, whether it's the repeal of 7AA, the Treaty Principles Bill, the Regulatory Standards Bill, and others. And so the government is simply seeking to gag the Waitangi Tribunal through this review.
Do you think that the Waitangi Tribunal has been serving its original purpose, or has it been overstepping its boundaries, as some members of the coalition have suggested?
I think the members of the coalition just simply don't like the fact that the tribunal is holding them to account, as it should, and that is part of the tribunal's role too. It is to ensure that our government is adequately, as the Crown, adequately honouring Te Tiriti or Waitangi. And I do think it's rich for the Crown to, without adequately consulting with the other signatories of Te Tiriti, to start reviewing the one tribunal we have that ensures that the government is adhering to our founding document.
Māori Development Minister Tama Pōtaka has said that the advisory group leading the review will engage with iwi and hapū to ensure that their voices and perspectives are reflected. Do you trust the government to effectively engage with iwi, hapū and Māori in the process of this review?
They haven't adequately done it with basically every other piece of legislation they have put through, and where they have completely sidelined, ignored and criticised and undermined Māori voices. So I have absolutely no faith that this will be the case.
Do you think that the government will be fair and unbiased in the outcome of the review, whatever that might be?
No, because at every stage of the way we have seen, whether it's through the Treaty Principles Bill, the undermining of 7AA and other bills, that the government actually does not care about honouring Te Tiriti or Waitangi. There's nothing to say and to see that would show and prove that the government will treat this review with the respect that it deserves. And, you know, actions speak louder than words, and I'm taking this from the actions we've seen from the government in the past.
All right, moving on to the next topic. Only a few days after the announcement of the Waitangi Tribunal review, the government announced that they would be investing $774 million towards improving the redress process for survivors of abuse in state care in Budget 2025. The package included a boost to redress payments, with those who suffered the most severe abuse receiving higher payments. However, the government will not be looking to set up a new redress scheme for abuse survivors, which was one of the key recommendations of both the Royal Commission and the Redress Design Group. So my next question is, what was your reaction to the government's funding announcement for the abuse and care redress system?
This is absolutely failing survivors who did ask for a compensation scheme to be set up. And, I mean, Erica Stanford herself put it, she said that what survivors were asking were, quote, too ambitious. And that tells me that it was a matter of the government not wanting to adequately resource a decent compensation scheme that would have been survivor-led. When the government is willing to spend billions of dollars on tax cuts for landlords, even more so for military spending, it really tells us about their priorities. And when they you know, showed up to the house to honor the voices of survivors and promise them that, you know, they'd be taking action. This just feels like a slap in the face for people who have been working for decades to get to this point.
Why do you think an entirely new compensation scheme needs to be developed instead of just addressing the issues with the current redress scheme and improving it?
Well, as survivors have told us, the current redress scheme can often be re-traumatizing. I do think we needed a new compensation scheme that actually would have been survivor-led and that recognizes actually the harm that has been caused by the state and faith institutions to countless of people across Aotearoa. I think if we are to genuinely heal and move on, we needed a new scheme, as has been called by those survivors.
Do you think that some of the announced changes to the current redress system, being the boost to redress payments and increasing the system's capacity to process claims, are enough to address the needs of abuse survivors?
No, because it also, for example, omits faith institutions. And basically, it's still a government process. We do need something that is led by survivors themselves. And I do think, you know, as we have seen in media comments by survivors, many of them have been left reeling and incredibly disappointed with the outcome. This is the time for the government to stop the austerity politics and genuinely put the voices of people who have been failed by the state and faith institutions at the center of a response of something that has taken decades to get to this point.
And during his official apology in November last year, Prime Minister Christopher Luxon said it was the government's intention to have a new single redress system operating by this year. Would you consider the recent announcement to be contradictory to the promise that Chris Luxon made in his apology?
It just shows time and time again, whether it's the national MPs talking about pay equity and celebrating it only to then massively undermine it, to this, that you can't trust Christopher Luxon and his colleagues' words on basically any issue. They have shown us that they're willing to move with urgency to repeal pay equity. They have shown us that they're willing to spend more than $10 billion on tax cuts for landlords and military spending together. And yet when it comes to honoring the voices of survivors who were genuinely harmed, you know, in horrendous ways while in supposed state care and faith institutions, they're unable to fork out the resources and the energy to do right for people that deserve it.
All right, moving on to the last topic. Last week, the government passed the Wildlife Authorizations Amendment Bill in Parliament, which would introduce amendments to the Wildlife Act pertaining to the incidental killing of native wildlife. The act would allow the Director General of the Department of Conservation to authorize the incidental killing of wildlife during lawful activities like construction and development, provided that it did not pose a threat to the population of said species. So next, I'd like to ask, what are your thoughts on the government's recent changes to the Wildlife Act?
Once again, we saw legislation that was rushed through Parliament after a court ruling that found that it was unlawful for the Department of Conservation to permit developers to kill protected species, to literally legalize the killing of kiwi and other native wildlife, including that it's a risk of extinction. It shows that the government, A, does not care about preserving our native wildlife, but it actually is critical to the well-being of our environment. It drives, industries like tourism across Aotearoa just to serve the interests of rich developers who want to make short-term profits at the expense of the very life systems that support us.
Was the previous version of the Wildlife Act and protections for Taonga species having an impact on construction and development projects?
I think developers should always take additional steps to ensure that native wildlife isn't impacted, particularly that is endangered. And this is why, while I can accept that we may have needed a review to strengthen and improve the current legislation that we had in place, what the government effectively did was go against the court ruling and, on top of that, legalized and a piece of legislation that is supposed to support and protect native wildlife, the killing of kiwi and other native wildlife. I think this is an absolute disgrace, and it will risk many of our native species being endangered and at risk of extinction for a few bucks in the short term.
While the government has said that incidental killings would only be permitted if they did not pose a threat to the species' population size, do you think that this amendment could further the endangerment of some Tonga species here in Aotearoa?
Absolutely. I mean, and we have to see this in the broader context of what else the government is doing, right? We're seeing it in the context of the government pushing through fast-track legislation that would enable mines that would put many of our native species, including frogs that can only be found in very specific parts of the country, at risk of extinction. So when we put those two together, it just shows that the government is putting the profits of corporates ahead of the life systems that support us all. And we have to remember that when we have thriving ecosystems, that actually is better to support things like our agriculture, it's better to support our waterways. When we put profit above all of those things, we end up destroying the very same things that keep us alive.
And that was the Green Party's Ricardo Menendez-March talking to us about the Waitangi Tribunal Review, the Abuse and Care Redress Funding, and changes to the Wildlife Act.
That was the Green Party's Ricardo Menendez-March.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.